Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, since the healthcare summit last Thursday, most of the reaction to it has understandably been about the content of health reform legislation. But the nature of the event itself was historic and has triggered a movement to make direct discussions like that standard, like what the British call question time, where the prime minister stands up and takes direct, often scathing and fast-paced questions from members of parliament. Should we have question time in this country? Mika Sifri is with us, co-founder of the website Tech President and the Personal Democracy Forum. He is advocating for an American version of question time on a regular basis. He's helping to collect petition signatures to bring this about. He's on the steering committee of a group called Demand Question Time. Hi, Mika. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Good to be here. And first, I just have to check. If I renew my WNYC membership right now, what do I get?
You get a warm glow for the rest of the year.
Okay.
And now you like the healthcare summit for the nature of the democracy that we saw there, right?
Well, I think what we saw both at the healthcare summit and at the original event that prompted the movement for Demand Question Time when President Obama went before the House Republican retreat about a month ago and had a televised spontaneous Q&A session with them, is that when we get our elected representatives from both sides talking to each other face-to-face in a setting where the public is watching, we actually can get them on better behavior than what we get most of the time, which is a kind of politics of partisan finger-pointing and blame-casting, and nothing gets done. And so I would say the healthcare summit is not quite the model of question time that we're looking for, but the basic core idea of face-to-face, unscripted, unfiltered, live, available to the whole public interaction between both parties is something that I think a lot of us on all sides of the aisle, we have people from Katrina Vandenhoevel at The Nation magazine and David Corns at Mother Jones to Grover Norquist of Americans for Tax Reform and Glenn Reynolds of Instapundit, all agree that we need to inject some kind of a new approach to get our country and its leadership trying to address problems in a serious way.
And listeners, if you're originally from the UK, call up and inform the rest of us. Is question time good for democracy over there, in your opinion? Does it have pros and cons? Would it be good for America? 212-433-WNYC. And anyone else, do you want question time here? What do you think of Mika's argument? Do you want events like the healthcare summit on a regular basis? Would that be good for democracy? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. You know, Mika, when the summit ended, one of the first things I saw them say on Fox News afterwards was that President Obama, and of course they were just, you know, going down their list of ways to tear down Barack Obama. We know that. But one of the things that they said was Obama demeaned the office of the presidency with the whole event by bringing himself down to the level of a mere prime minister. Would question time diminish the value or diminish the power of an actual head of state like the presidency that our Constitution established?
You know, I'm not sure that bothers me so much. I think the president has too much power. I think we've seen an expansion of presidential power grabs by both parties with, you know, with whoever is the president wants more. So from the point of view of what enhances democracy and dispersion of power, I'm all for pulling the president down a notch into having to interact with people who he sometimes disagrees with. You know, one of the points that the Republican proponents for question time are making right now, and some of our libertarian supporters as well, is that it's important to get the president out of the control bubble, out of this circle of sycophants and people who only say yes to him, and every now and then for him to be confronted with strong opposing points of view And, you know, that might have actually mm-hmm. kept George Bush from continuing the Iraq war as long as he did, except that he was in a bubble as well. And now the Republicans are making the argument that Obama is in his own ideological bubble. We can disagree over whether or not that's the case, but I think that in this day and age, creating this sort of interaction would be healthy overall. And now, that the president has gotten too isolated from public opinion.
Now, you said people are on better behavior mm-hmm. during something like the health summit or question time. I want to play a counterexample. This is currently hot on YouTube. Maybe you know it. This is Question Time gone off the rails. And tell me if it's worth adding this to American politics. This is Nigel Farage, I think you say it, a leader of the UK Independence Party, as he addresses the European Council President Herman Van Rompuy in an EU Question Time. Consider here that Van Rompuy is sitting right there taking this to his face. Brace yourself.
You have the charisma of a damp rag and the appearance of a low-grade bank clerk. And the question that I want to ask, that we're all going to ask, is who are you? I'd never heard of you. Nobody in Europe had ever heard of you. I would like to ask you, President, who voted for you? And what mechanism? Oh, I know democracy's not popular with you lot. And what mechanism do the peoples of Europe have
Mr.
to remove
President.
You? Is this European democracy? Well, I sense, though, that you're competent and capable and dangerous. And I have no doubt that it's your intention to be the quiet assassin of European democracy and of the European nation states. You appear to have a loathing for the very concept of the existence of nation states. Perhaps that's because you come from Belgium, which, of course, is pretty much a non-country.
Ouch. Nigel Farage at the European Council. So, Mika, do you want Eric Cantor doing that to President Obama's face?
Well, I would argue that the tradition, should it take hold here in the United States, is going to grow in a different kind of cultural context. And that what the Europeans do is not necessarily what we will do. And if Eric Cantor behaved that way, I mean, you saw what happened to Joe Wilson when he yelled, "You lie." There's a certain expectation of decorum that we still have. But honestly, Brian, I don't know what's so terrible about that kind of interchange. They're still talking to each other, and the gentleman being addressed gets a chance to respond, and the public is served by these kinds of interchanges, because instead of hiding conflict, at least we're bringing it out into the open and asking, you know, the key to me is there a feedback loop? Does the public then get to say, you know, this behavior is helpful or hurting? And so I wouldn't do Question Time in a vacuum. I'm assuming that these things are going to be watched and dissected all over the media, and that every elected representative who goes out onto that stage and behaves in a certain way is concerned about how they're going to look as well. And so what we saw happen when Obama and the House Republicans did this was a very civil, serious conversation about people who disagree about issues and have different governing philosophies. And, you know, I would take my chances that we're going to get more of that, and occasionally we're going to get some theater. But there's nothing wrong with a little bit of political theater if it gets people to watch and pay attention.
Mika Sifri here in his role as steering committee member for Demand Question Time. He's gathering petition signatures. We'll tell you how to sign before he goes if you're interested in that. Michael in Manhattan, originally from the UK, right, Michael?
That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, I got back yesterday from London, so jet lag notwithstanding, it's quite amusing and interesting that you should have this covered at this time. And I want to say that political theater, yes, is good in this country, but you've got to realize cultural reality, and that is sarcasm. What you call sarcasm, we just call a sense of humor. And so the differences of sense of humor might be and could be construed as arrogance or, to the very least, being just rude.
Mm-hmm. So I totally agree. We have a different context here and different expectations on what kind of behavior is acceptable. And so what the British do, by the way, let's not forget that the British tradition is a parliamentary system where the average member of the opposition essentially has almost no role in terms of proposing legislation or getting legislation passed. They have far less of a role compared to the average member of Congress here. And so the British system is different. I don't think we would get the same thing. But I do think it would be healthy if the president, whoever the president is, and the leaders of the opposition meet face-to-face, live, televised, webcast, unfiltered, unsponsored. And let's get the journalists out. With all due respect to you, Brian, you'd be a great moderator. But I don't want reporters acting as intermediaries. We already have fake presidential debates where serious questions are dodged. And I would much prefer something where the two parties go face-to-face.
Right. As happened at the Health Summit. Frank in Manhattan, originally from Canada, right, Frank?
No, but I have attended question period in Canada a couple of times. They do that 5 days a week up there. I think it's very lively, although it's currently in disrepute in Canada as being too chaotic and too rude and not to the point. I think we have presidents here who, frankly, could not stand up to the questions, would not be able to articulate anything. But in general, I think it's a good idea.
Thank you. And David in D.C., originally from the U.K., David?
That's correct, yes. And I used to live in New York, which is how I got to know your program.
Thank you. Thank you for continuing to listen.
I just wanted to say that, question time in the U.K. is certainly great. I think it sheds more heat than light, frankly, on developments in the UK. I think it's mainly theater, as someone else has just said. Their questions are very often planted by the party of the Prime Minister. So I don't think one should get run away too much with the notion that it's going to shed a great deal of light. Mind you, I would like to just add quickly that I think in the American context, because such a thing like question time would be fresh and new, it might be a good idea. I would like to see it. I don't know in what forum or context it would happen in the U.S. because of the separation of, you know, the legislation from the legislative from the executive branch. So I don't know whether it will be in Congress or where. And that's a question maybe you'd like to discuss with your guest.
David, thank you for that. And we just have 30 seconds left, Mika, so you can answer his question real quick and then tell people if they want to sign your demand question time petition, how do they do it?
Sure. Well, go to demandquestiontime.com, and you'll see the button for the petition. We have more than 21,000 signatures already. And as for the format, we've been deliberately vague. We don't know whether it should be weekly, monthly, quarterly. I think ultimately that will be for Congress and the president to decide. And our job is to keep attention and clearly cross-partisan attention, that this is something Democrats, independents, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, libertarians, we've got all types supporting this, because I think everybody senses that this is one thing, not the only thing, but one thing that might help restore some civility and seriousness to the national political debate and dialogue, and that our country needs that now.
Mika Sifri, co-founder of the Personal Democracy Forum and TechPresident.com, and part of the steering committee for Demand Question Time. Mika, thanks a lot.
My pleasure, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.